Okay, we are now going to read Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 6. This is continuing our series on Isaiah. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my unfailing kindnesses promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know you will hasten to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be able to meet with you here. If you are a regular churchgoer and come each Christmas, you wouldn't have seen me last year. This is my first Christmas with Pennant Hills, and my name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Penno, and I, on behalf of the church and all of the families who invited friends and their own families to join, welcome to being with us. I have often loved Christmas morning, because when you first get up, you sneak out and you look for something that wasn't there the night before. Has anyone did that this morning? Yep, it's what I do. I've snuck out, and this morning there was a gift for me sitting on the kitchen bench. Six dessert bowls and a plate that had been used. But stacked very neatly to go into the dishwasher. They had appeared between me putting my head down to sleep and me running out to see what I had been given at Christmas Day. Perhaps you haven't done that, maybe you have. And as Vic began our time together, he was asking about presents. And it reminded me that each year there's always a must-have present. And there's one that is universally wanted across the world, in the UK and the US and here in Australia. It varies, but the predictions are that one of the hot toys for the year, for 2024 Christmas, is a Bluey 3-in-1 plane. Did anyone get one of those today? Yes? No. Did anyone go next level and get a cattle dog puppy for their children? No. Anyone get a one-way ticket on a plane? Anyone? No? Okay. So, there are some amazing toys that come out each year, and the predictions are quite hard, but this is the prediction for this year. Along with the Bluey plane, there's the Chicken Dance Elmo. There's the Cookies Makery Freezy Cakers Fridge. I don't know what that is, but they need English lessons. There's the Ms. Rachel Speak and Sing doll. Anyone get one of them? Nope, okay. And the Mr. Beast Lab Mutators. Sounds like fun. And a pinball machine maker gumball rally. Nah. I got nothing on this list. But let me ask you a question. Do you remember what you got for Christmas in 2023? Anyone? Some people do. Does anyone remember what they got in 2022? Some. I remember 2022 because they gave me a present and it was broken into thousands of pieces. It was a jigsaw puzzle, but it was still broken in some form. What about 2014 for those of us? What about 2004? And I'm getting older as we speak. The thing is, there are things that are on the hot list. There are things that we really, really want. And ultimately, we might not even remember what we got even last year. But if you wanted to know, the top toy for last year was Barbie products. I was surprised that Oppenheimer wasn't second, to be honest. But perhaps the gifts related to that would be a little dangerous. But nevertheless, people don't remember the gifts that they get. And I know that because I have three grown children. And at the end of each Christmas, it's not like I can put my feet up and say, well, I don't have to buy them gifts anymore. There's always something more to have. Always something that's to come. Something that will satisfy us, something that will please us. It's great to hear how everyone's getting ready for the food coma for later today, isn't it? It's one of the things that we love, and that's the imagery that Isaiah actually uses to talk about coming to God. And it's an invitation to come to God and be satisfied truly. To have something that you are given that means you never need look anywhere else. That's the kind of gift that we really need. And if we're thirsty, we need water. That's what the passage says. If we are those who have no money, if we're living in poverty, then come and get wine and milk without money and without cost. The invitation that God gives each and every day, but particularly as a reminder on Christmas, is that if we can come to Him, He can satisfy our deepest needs. And often, as a parent and as a gift receiver, we sometimes invest a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of effort into things that we believe will satisfy us. But they don't always deliver. In fact, they may deliver temporarily. They may be something brilliant and wonderful that lasts, perhaps even for years, but in the end, they lose their attraction. They lose their desire. They lose their ability to make us feel fulfilled, which is why after Isaiah says, come to God, because you don't even need anything when you come to Him. You can come empty-handed. It's not one of those balancing up of the gifts. Did you do this this year? It's always, if they get me this, then I should probably get them that because it costs about the same and we'll end up being both poor, but at least it's even, right? So that's the kind of the maths that we do at Christmas time. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. But here, God says you can come and be satisfied, but it doesn't cost. You don't need money. You don't need anything to receive what God has. And then Isaiah wants to remind us that they do spend money on things, which in the end, as I said, are unfulfilling. Because he says, why spend money on what isn't bread? And in the culture of the day, to say bread is to say life. Those who have no bread will not live for long, which is why, as we use the prayer that Jesus gave to us, our Father, he says, give us today our daily bread. That is, God, supply our needs. And here, the contrast is between coming to God and receiving for free the things that we really need, or we can spend our money, and he says, and our work or our labor on things that do not satisfy. We can spend a lot of money, a lot of effort, and a lot of time on things that have use-by dates. As much as it hurts for us to know, even though we may have spent many hours and many days on many things, most of them will end up in refill, if we're honest. I don't know and I don't remember what I had as a gift for 2004, but I'm almost certain, unless it was a book, because I hoard those, is in landfill out at Barden Ridge, slowly decaying next to the nuclear reactor. Where are the things that you may have thought were so important to you, so needed, but in the end, they end up on the side of the road for council cleanup, or in the bin, because ultimately they were not able to satisfy. That's the contrast. God is saying, if you come to me, you will have life-giving water. If you come to me, you will have the bread that gives life each and every day, and it will not cost you anything. But as we know, especially at this time of year, and we're certainly encouraged with, you know, Dark Friday and Cyber Monday and Happy Tuesdays, and there's so many things. And honestly, I'm actually looking forward to getting hot cross buns tomorrow. Anyone? But this is what God says. We can spend all our life on things that we have been told or hope will fill us. And it just doesn't happen. Jesus, in his lifetime, met someone, a lady at the well, who was trying to fill up her life with relationships. And her life was one failed relationship after the other. Jesus said, you've had five failed ones and you're in a sixth one, but you're not willing to commit to this because you're not sure it's going to work out. But she's still trying to find satisfaction and fulfillment, in this case, in relationships. And Jesus, to her, says, come to me, drink the water I have. It's living water, which will flow out to eternal life. The promise that Jesus makes is the promise that God makes here in Isaiah 55. Come to me and be satisfied. Jesus says the same to those who he fed. And if you've been in church at all, you would have heard this story, or at least at kids' church or perhaps at SRE, where Jesus fed 5,000 people for a day. And then because he was tired, he moved away from those people, but they followed him and said, where's today's bread? And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Come to me and you'll never be hungry again. Jesus picks up this idea of water and bread and says, this is for me. This is me that you will find those things you're desperately looking for. And so in Isaiah, God says, listen to me, eat what is good, you will delight in the richest for fare, give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. God's saying, come. There's an invitation that God gives to say, if you come to me, you'll have life. And no amount of money or work will ever be able to bring this because I'm giving it to you. But if you spend your money and your labor and your work on other things, they will ultimately fail you in one way or another. People will fail you. The jobs that you have will fail you. The success that you have can be taken away. The health that you enjoy and put all your effort and time into, the beauty that you work on, it will all fade. Jesus is the one who said, I am living water. I am the bread of life. And God in Isaiah 55 says, come to me and listen that you may live. Now, Isaiah 55 is written to a people who are very far from home, stuck. A little bit like, do you remember COVID? Do you remember COVID Christmas? So many people that I knew said, I want to go visit my mum or dad in Queensland. I want to see my children who live in Western Australia. And you couldn't get there. It was impossible. Guards at the gates, on the borders. And there were some very, very difficult things that happened during that time where they're desperate to get to the place they want to go. That's the situation of the people of Isaiah's day that he's writing to. They are a long way from home. Not quite as far as Perth, by the way, but pretty far. About Adelaide, I suspect, which no one would want to go there, obviously, but Adelaide, in terms of distance, and they've got no way of thinking how they can get there. And God's saying, well, you just need to come to me. It won't be found anywhere else, what you're desperately looking for. He says, listen. And what does he say about to listen? This is what he says. Hear it carefully. God says, if you come to me and listen, this is what will satisfy you. And he says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a ruler and commander of the people. Surely He goes on, you will summon nations you don't know, and there are nations you don't know yet who will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One, for he has endowed you with splendor. Or to use Christine's term, lavished. This love, this faithful, steadfast love that God has is going to be lavished on them. And if you're not particularly like a Bible person or a church person, I'm really glad that you're here. But the word covenant is essentially a description of a relationship that is binding. So it's wonderful to actually see the last binding covenant I saw was Adam and Esther, and they're here with us today. Yeah, hi, Esther. So I don't know where they're here somewhere. That was a binding covenant because they promised before God and others that this was the person they were with till death parts or till Christ returns. That's the kind of commitment and relationship that God is saying he will do. And he says, I'm going to make this one and I'm going to do it through what I promised David. And you can trust it because I'm going to love you with an everlasting love. And what is it? He sends someone from the line of David who will satisfy us. And it will cost us nothing, but it will cost him everything. And it'll be glorious. It'll be splendor. It's going to be lavish. To be honest, when I heard Christine say lavish, my mind went to lavash. I looked it up. It's a really nice bread. But we were talking about being fed, weren't we? So, but nevertheless, God says, come and be satisfied. When you listen to me, this is what you're going to be looking for. You're going to be looking for someone who comes, who is glorious, and you're going to come running to find this person. And so the end is to say, if you've got your eyes and your ears open to looking for God to do this, in the midst of everything else, he then makes this command. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near. And that's the Christmas story. We've seen the nativity scenes. We know that the shepherds were part of the people of Israel. They were part of the people to whom this was written. And the angels told them, today in the city of David, a Saviour is born, he is Christ the Lord. He is the one that's promised. He's the one who's going to establish this forever relationship with you, the people. And so they come and they see him while he can be found. And they worship him. They call on God in great awe and wonder. But the nations turn up too, don't they, at Christmas time? The Magi, three wise guys, whatever you want to call them, people from far away. In fact, in all likelihood, 90% plus, they came from the place that these Israelites were in Babylon. They came, and they came running to see what God had done through this child that had been born. They sought him out. It needed a star and a dream to find him, but they did find him. And so today, my challenge to you is the same. Will you seek the Lord while he can be found? Will you call on him? It's another word for prayer. Will you call on him when he is near? Because if the promises that he makes are true, then he can satisfy the deepest longings of life. Not just thirst, not just hunger, but the thing that will really and truly satisfy us. And there's nothing less than a relationship with God himself. That is what ultimately will fulfill us. The everlasting covenant that God promised and delivered on Christmas Day. So my challenge is, seek the Lord and call on him while he is near, because he is living waters. He is the bread of life. And he promises that he can give life to the full that truly satisfies in a way that nothing else and no amount of money or work can ever do. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus today. We thank you that as we have the opportunity to exchange gifts and presents today, that we can remember that you gave us the greatest gift, your very presence in our life, embodied in the Lord Jesus, who came as a helpless babe, as we've sung, who lived the life that we could not live, who died the death we ought to have, and who has now risen to life so that he may give life to the full. Father, I pray for each and every one of us here who may be thirsting or hungry, not just literally, but looking for something that will satisfy. Today, Father, a lot of those satisfactions will be met. Great food, good company, presence. Help us instead to keep seeking you until we find you, because in you are all the treasures of life. And so we ask that you would remind us of that today. In Jesus' name we ask, Amen.